Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. And today we're actually going to start what's going to take us probably what's going to seem like a long time, because we're actually going to go through a verse-by-verse study looking at the two epistles to the church at Thessalonica. So we're going to be studying 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians in detail, looking at some of the things that the Apostle Paul tells us, the members of the body of Christ, and trying to give us some of the doctrine that we need as the body of Christ. Now, as we go through these epistles, what we're going to see is there's going to be a lot of things that today have really had some controversy around them, because individuals have some different ways of looking at things. And as we get to some of those passages, we'll be talking about, you know, what it is that individuals really struggle with in these two epistles. Now, to quickly get this piece out of the way, this is more for those who have the interest in some of the statistics that are related to the epistles. The 1 Thessalonians, it contains 5 chapters, and in those 5 chapters, there's 89 verses, and those 89 verses have 1,857 words. The 2 Thessalonian epistle has 3 chapters, and in those 3 chapters, there are 47 verses, and in those 47 verses, there are 1,042 words. So when we really look at this, there's a total between these two epistles of, you know, just under 3,000 words, and there really is a lot of information that we need in them, but also a lot of problems that have been going on for the members of the body of Christ today, to the point of where individuals have even taken it upon themselves to split from those who are not teaching it the way that they think the scriptures actually would line up. And like I said, as we go through, you know, these two epistles, we'll actually see some of those things and talk about, you know, what it is that the Apostle Paul really means as he teaches those doctrines. Now, the timing of the writing of these two epistles, and for some of this information, you actually have to go outside of the scriptures, because the scriptures don't actually tell you exactly when these two epistles would have been written. But a date for a time frame that individuals have given for them would be somewhere around 54 AD. Now, the one thing we can know for certain is we know that these two epistles were written during the Acts period. So, you know, during his ministry from Acts chapter 9 through Acts chapter number 28, he wrote a number of epistles. 1 and 2 Thessalonians would actually be written during that time frame. And these two epistles would actually be among the earliest of even those epistles. So, you know, this is really almost, you know, the very first things that the Apostle Paul is writing to the members of the body of Christ. And you see the one major doctrine that he actually is going to get into, and we'll be covering it, you know, really almost in every chapter of these epistles, is that the Apostle Paul deals with the doctrine of the day of Christ, that event that, you know, individuals will use the word rapture or the catching out of the saints to describe that. But, you know, that's a focus as he lays out the doctrine that's contained in these two epistles. Now, the city of Thessalonica, if you actually, you know, look at geographically, you know, where this is that the Apostle Paul is writing to, the city was situated on the Bay of Thermopylae, or at the time of This writing was actually called the Gulf of Thessalonica at that time. But it's part of the, you know, it was a seaport in Macedonia, which is modern-day Greece. And it was on, you know, what was called the Ignatian Way, which was a major travel route at that time. Now, so this is a road and a port that would have been used by many travelers that would have actually been using this. You would have had a lot of commercial things that would have gone on. You had troops that were transported in the Roman Empire through this city. So you had a lot of individuals who were coming and going through this city. So it was an important place for the Apostle Paul to have actually given a place to where the gospel could actually go forth from the city, and that gospel of the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and that believing in that and that alone is what gives someone their salvation today. You had a number of people who would have been going through this city. In fact, it was so populous, it was actually considered to be a capital city at the time because of all of the commerce that was going on and the people that were going through. Now, today, that city is not called Thessalonica. It's actually called Saloniki, and it's, you know, in, it's a Turkish commercial town to where, you know, everything that we're going to be talking about would have been going on in this city. So when we're talking about this, what, one thing we do have to realize is that the city would have had Greeks, Romans, and Jews residing in it. So these would have been the people who would have been hearing the Apostle Paul preaching his message, teaching the doctrine that had been given to him. Now, I want to spend a few minutes actually looking at the actual establishment of the local assembly here in Thessalonica and what was going on with them. Let's go over to the book of Acts. And we're going to start first in Acts chapter number 16 first. And here in Acts chapter number 16, we're going to read verses 9 and 10. And it says, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." So the idea is that they were, this is what they realized that they were supposed to be doing. So they planned to go unto Macedonia. Now, at the time of that this is actually going on, the Apostle Paul would actually have been, you know, he's in Troas. He's going to be going down into Philippi on his way to, in his travels down to Macedonia. Now, we know the problems that he had in over in Philippi. You know, and you can read that in the, you know, end part of Acts chapter number 16, which also the Apostle Paul makes a reference to here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And he says here in verse 2, talking about, you know, him coming there, says, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. So even after the problems that he had experienced in Philippi, when you read through the end of Acts chapter number 16, you see how he's cast into jail as a result of his teaching, that it doesn't discourage him from actually going out and continuing to teach the gospel message which had been committed unto him. Now, when we go back into Acts, you know, now we're going to go to chapter number 17 to actually look at him actually going into this city here. And we're going to read the first two verses of Acts chapter number 17. It says, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis in Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. So we see that as he goes into Thessalonica, you see that it talks about that he goes, as his manner was, he goes into the synagogue and he teaches on the Sabbath day. And I threw in there the issue of the synagogue because it's talking about him teaching on the Sabbath day. And if we're talking about the Sabbath day, we know that this is speaking specifically about things related to the nation of Israel, because the Sabbath was given to Israel for them to follow as part of the law. So for 3 Sabbath days, so for 3 weeks, he's going into the synagogue and he's teaching them and reasoning with them out of the Scriptures. Now, in order for him to be doing this, it's very clear what he would have been teaching to them if he's reasoning with them out of Scriptures in the synagogue, because there's only one message that he could have actually been teaching to them there. And I want to go for an example of this teaching. Let's go over back to Acts chapter number 9. And we're going to see what it says about what the Apostle Paul was teaching here in Acts chapter number 9. We'll start here in verse number 20. It says, "And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed, and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ." So we see that the message, as he was teaching in the synagogue in Acts chapter number 9, was teaching related to the fact that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, the same message that had been taught by the apostles to the nation of Israel, giving them understanding of who the Messiah was that had come for them. His ministry involved part of this, teaching this to the nation of Israel. That's why you see things that he writes. Like, for example, let's go over into Romans chapter number 1. And here in Romans chapter number 1, we're going to read verses 16 and 17. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So we see that the Apostle Paul, what his, as it talked about in Acts 17, talked about, you know, that this is something that he did every time he went into one of these cities, is the very first thing he did was found a synagogue and preached to the Jew first. He preached a message to them, waiting for them to reject that message. Once it was rejected, then he would go unto the Gentiles based on their rejection of this message. Now, in the book of Acts, you actually see this rejection happen 3 different times that are recorded. Let's go over to Acts chapter number 13. Now, when you read in Acts chapter number 13, you see how there's a long message that's recorded here that the Apostle Paul preaches, and we're going to see what the result of him preaching actually is here. And here in Acts chapter number 13, let's pick up here in verse number 44. It says, in the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. So, as a result of this rejection of the message that the Apostle Paul is teaching here, we see that the end result of it is that he declares that, you know, they had to do this, they had to go preach it to the Jews first, and as a result of their rejection, they were going to turn unto the Gentiles, and they were going to teach this message to them. You see exactly what happens. We'll read two more verses here in Acts chapter 13, just to see what happens as a result of this preaching. It says, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. So we see a number of individuals believed what was going on as a result of seeing that the message was turning, going from the Jews and going now unto the Gentiles. Now let's go over to Acts chapter number 18. And we're going to see a second time that this idea is actually given. This time we're going over into the city of Corinth. And we're going to see the Apostle Paul teaching here. We're going to start in Acts 18. We're going to start in verse number 4. And it says, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews. And now we're going to see the message again, preaching to the Jews, that Jesus was Christ. So he's continuing to preach this message in the synagogue that we saw in Acts chapter number 9. We talked about that he was teaching in Acts chapter number 17 in Thessalonica. Now we see him teaching it in Corinth, and it actually recording exactly this is what he's teaching to them in the synagogue. And then we see their reaction to this, because the nation as a whole had rejected him as the Messiah. Verse 6 of Acts chapter number 18. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. Now, this is different from when it had been declared that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was going to be on their heads when they asked for his death. Now it's saying, your blood be upon your own heads. The issue of, you know, you're trying to work for your own salvation. You've rejected what's going on here, because it talks about that they opposed themselves and blasphemed because they were rejecting this message of him as the Christ. And Paul making the declaration again of the fact that from henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. So that from this point forward, he's going to be going unto the Gentiles. So we see a second rejection of the nation of Israel. We have one more of these that's going to go on here. And let's go over to Acts chapter number 28. You know, the very last chapter of the book. And we're going to pick up here in Acts chapter number 28. We'll start in verse number 23 to see what it is that he's teaching here. It says, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. So again, he's teaching out of the doctrine that had been given to the nation of Israel, teaching them who the Lord Jesus Christ was, that he was the Messiah, the Son of God. Verse 24, and some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they had agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. So, again, he's making this declaration of, for the third time, that the Gentiles are going to hear the doctrine that he's been laying out. They're going to receive the word of God. And after this third piece of this teaching, you see that the book of the Acts just closes out immediately, because the nation of Israel has finished their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having said all that, related to the issue of, you know, he's going and he's teaching this way. Now let's read some things about what the Apostle Paul specifically had occur to him in Thessalonica. Let's go back to Acts chapter number 17. And we're going to read here, starting verse number 3. It says, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. So again, we see this issue of some individuals believe what was going on. They accepted the fact that Jesus was the Christ. Now, let's pick up here and continue on verse number 5, and we're going to see the rejection of some of those who've been hearing this. It says, but the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying, there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. So we see the nation of Israel, in their rejection, starts trying to get after the Apostle Paul. They start rounding up these other individuals who had been helping him. But we see what happens. Verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those at Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So we see these individuals, and he goes from Thessalonica to Berea after the brethren had helped him get out of the city. And he goes there, and it describes them as being more noble because they were searching the scriptures to see if what was being taught actually reflected what the scriptures said. Now, it really looks in some ways like he's, you know, Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, is talking down about the church at Thessalonica. And I want to, the last passage I want to look at for this episode, to really kind of show what the Apostle Paul's thought process about this group was. And let's go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And we see from the Apostle Paul's words what he says about them. Verse number 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So he holds up this group and says, you were actually accepting the things that were being taught as being the word of God, allowing it to have an impact on your life. And by doing that, they can be what, individuals really look at and say that the church at Thessalonica was the model church. And now they say that because of the fact that, he only had to teach them for 3 weeks, and it seemed like they had gathered up exactly what it is that he was saying. The truth of why they're more of a model church is the fact that they accepted what was being said as being the word of God. And that's what we, as the members of the body of Christ, should actually be doing with what the Apostle Paul says. Now, in our next episode, we'll finish up our kind of introduction to the Thessalonian epistles, and then we'll actually start looking at chapter number 1 and start looking at some of the things that are written in there. So, and I always like to remind everyone, our website, www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have links to our messages. There's also, a Facebook page, for Grace Family Bible Church. And, if you click on that Facebook page, you can actually, watch live broadcasts of our Sunday services. So, if you, don't have a local assembly in your area and you would like to hear some solid preaching, you can, take advantage of that. And, we would just love to hear from you if you ever have any questions or comments about any of the things that we teach. And so until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.